welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Go up and see them. They've got pretty much everything you can imagine when it comes to John Deere. They've got mowers, tractors, attachments, and a full line of the electric lawn care products. They've got it all up there in stock, ready to go. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! All right, so the first hour went super, super, super fast. We really appreciate you staying on with us, Scott. This topic is not a short discussion, obviously. And how long did it take you to write this book, just out of curiosity?
Well, you really ought to say about 5 years because, again, the book is largely a compilation of year upon year of research
that we did. Yeah, there's no way you could just sit down and, let's expose these guys. Let's do a little homework. No, this had to be pulling in, a lot of people and a lot of information.
Well, so many different directions, so many different tentacles to look at, what to put in and what to take out,
one of the things here that on our cheat sheet that Stephen listed for us, was how they have changed America and undermined our freedom, since that's kind of part of the assertion of the book. And I know we've explained lots of different things. Bill's particularly fixated on the Buffett, the Warren Buffett
thing. Well, no, not the Warren Buffett one. The fix the court and demand justice.
Oh, that first.
Those two were after, they popped up and all of a sudden were after every Supreme Court pick Trump had. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I sure can. This actually is the origin story of how we ever uncovered Arabella in the first place, right? So, again, let me tell a little bit of a story here. But you go back to the summer of 2018, I think it is, right? So Justice Kennedy says he is going to be stepping down from the Supreme Court. And Kavanaugh would eventually be named to replace him. But even before Kavanaugh was picked as a nominee, this thing called demand justice swung into action and started attacking the Senate Judiciary Committee, then under the control of a Republican from Iowa, Charles Grassley. The committee was being attacked. The president was being attacked, and even without a nominee. And it was all being done by something called demand justice. And I had a friend at the Senate Judiciary Committee call me up and say, none of us have ever even heard of demand justice. We can't find anything out about it. What should we do? What's going on? And that's where we dug into it and discovered that the reason nobody'd heard of it is because the fellow who started it had just gone to a Soros Democracy Alliance meeting. The Democracy Alliance is about 100 and some left-wing billionaires and centimillionaires that get together to plot their political giving twice a year. And this guy had pitched them on his new group, Demand Justice, which would be attacking every single judicial nominee of the president. And he'd gotten a couple of million bucks from Soros to get himself launched, and the money had gone through Arabella. So specifically through that 1630 fund that we were talking about before the break. So we figured that part out, but then we, unlike the other folks who had uncovered 1630 fund, we wanted to understand, what's 1630 fund, right? Now it has this new project called Demand Justice, but what is it? And the answer was, it's one of a half dozen nonprofits controlled by Arabella Advisors. And they do all these other things. So Demand Justice was, as soon as Kavanaugh was named, you have Demand Justice organizing rallies at the Supreme Court with, dozens of lefty groups all screaming the world's coming to an end because Kavanaugh has been nominated. And there's a picture in the first, in the introduction, which I bet you got a big chuckle out of. You can see the pre-printed signs, right? Stop Kavanaugh, stop Barrett, stop Etheridge, and what, right? They pre-printed every possible name because they didn't care who it was. They were going to attack whoever it was. And so that's Demand Justice. To this day, they still are active. They were the main people harassing Justice Stephen Breyer, a Democrat appointee, trying to get it to force him to retire, which he did, finally. And they're also now pushing hard to pack the court, right? And then you also have the Fix the Court, which is another Arabella group. Now, remember we talked about the matching pairs of C4 mm-hmm. and C3? Well, Demand Justice is the C4, and Fix the Court is the C3, also burst by Arabella, and it is helping to smear the court to try to force justices to recuse themselves from cases or to have term limits on the court or just in general to denigrate the court and weaken it, its power, and they hope maybe get some of the constitutional respecting judges to go along with the left-wing agenda in court cases. And just recently, to show you how the Arabella is behind so much of what you see in the news, you don't know it. You've probably seen that recently Justice Sotomayor, another Democrat appointee, is being harassed to leave the court because Democrats are scared they lose the presidency or the Senate and they won't be able to get a replacement they like for Sotomayor. So they want to get her off the court now. Well, the first thing that got leaked about her medical records came from, guess what? Fix the Court.
Wow.
So, oh, my gosh.
This is how powerful and influential Arabella is without, you know, you or the average American having any clue about all this stuff going
right,
on.
Right, right. Yeah, because their name never pops up. It's these other little nonprofits or for-profit foundations that we hear about, not knowing they're being funded by Arabella.
Well, who's going to be against Fix the Court?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah,
kind of makes you a bit of a heretic.
That's right.
You should be in favor demand of justice. Fix the Court. Yeah, demand justice. You should like that too.
Yeah.
Now, you got to let me tell you a quickie little story on Fix the Court, though.
Oh, tell us all the stories. We live for the stories.
Yeah, well, this is definitely one. You can find it in the footnotes there for the introduction, because this is another one you might want to post for your folks to go read and get a hoot out of. So Fix the Court, you want to talk about a Wizard of Oz operation, right? It's one dork in his apartment. That's it. Right? It's treated like it's some grand. I mean, the New York Times cites it in their editorials. They let the guy write on their editorial page. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, one of the least impressive members of the Senate, and but obsessed with dark money on the right, at least. He cites Fix the Court all the time because, remember, he's sort of the number one guy smearing the Supreme Court. Here's the thing about this little dork, right? So that we noticed that in 2021, even though it had been started at Arabella, in 2021, both these groups, Demand Justice and Fix the Court, got spun out and became independent nonprofits. Now, I dare say that's probably because we've been giving them and Arabella so much grief that it was embarrassing, and they realized, I guess we're going to have to throw them out, you know, to be on their own because it's too embarrassing for them to be inside this giant dark money network. So Fix the Court in 2021 becomes independent, which means it has to file its own tax return for the first time. And it filed an easy form, which for a nonprofit, that means you got less than 50,000. You know, you're only allowed to do that if you made less than 50K for the year in revenue. You know, just like you can't file an easy income tax form for yourself if you make over, what is it, 75,000? I forget what the limit is. Same thing. So this guy files the postcard, quickie, easy form, which would mean he had less than $50,000. But the problem is, we saw that a foundation, Lefty Foundation, had given him like $175,000. Arabella, the new venture fund, they've given him like $111,000. So how does that add up to less than 50, right?
Yeah.
So we passed this on to a reporter friend, and the reporter called him up and just said, hey, what's going on with that? And the guy totally freaked out and says, oh, it's a mistake. I've got to refile. I'll refile. I'll send you my refiled ones, right? So he hurriedly refiles and then sends his forms to the reporter. But on those forms, he didn't remember to redact the names of his donors, which you're allowed to redact the names of the donors, right? And usually a charity will. And he didn't do that in the thing he said. So then he calls the guy up, the reporter up again, hysterical. S-word, I really effed up. Oh, no, my donors are never going to give money to me again. I'm an idiot. I can't do anything right. I can't raise money. I can't give money away. I can't do right. By the way, the guy is a CPA, right? This form is not something that should be too much for him at any stage of all of this, right? And he just has a total meltdown on the record with the reporter, making a complete idiot of himself. And by the way, what does this really mean? It means he absolutely is opposed to disclosures, even though his whole campaign against the Supreme Court is, oh, you got to disclose. They should be disclosing much more than, you know, you can't claim they're not disclosing what they were required to disclose, but instead they've been saying, well, they should have to disclose a lot more. This guy won't disclose anything, including about donors who themselves already had to disclose those donations. I mean, it's idiocy. And then on top of that, a few days later, we pointed out, and the reporter pointed out, that, hey, guy, you have a whole page on your website that is nothing but political campaigns. Call your congressman and demand this and demand that and blah, blah, right? That's lobbying. But on the forms that you disclosed, you said you didn't do any lobbying. So how does that work? So the guy repeatedly lies on his disclosure forms and thinks nothing, however, of spending his whole life screaming that there should be much more disclosure for the Supreme Court.
Wow.
It's all one dork in his apartment.
Did anything ever come of that? I mean, was he ever brought up on any kind of charges or anything or fined? Or?
Well, keep in mind, when you sign any federal form and you lie on it, it's the federal crime of perjury in theory. But as I told you, Lois Lerner is not going to go after
right.
the dork in his apartment.
Right. That's great.
They're going to send the FBI FPPC office after the Central Committee treasurer somewhere and track them down. Yeah, probably not because they're not real. Oh, my gosh. Well, this thing almost never ends. As you guys started looking into this, was it just like the rabbit hole of the rabbit hole of the rabbit hole? I mean, how excited were you? I would have been.
Well,
joy.
As I say, I think that demand justice and fix the court would still be inside the Arabella network instead of just getting checks from Arabella as independent groups had we not made all of this noise and put so much light on them. The more and more in D.C., people at least are coming to know the name Arabella and start asking, like, you know, in congressional committee hearings, you'll have members of Congress say, well, you guys are making all this noise about dark money, but what about the Arabella network? Isn't this nominee of yours connected to the Arabella network? What do you mean dark money is a bad thing? Right? So, you know, they want you to think that right-wingers invented dark money in a lab in Wuhan.
No, it was an open-air market.
So is Fix the Court and Demand Justice, are they still viable? Or are they still up and running, or are they?
Well, I have noticed that after we did this, the Washington Post seemed to stop making use of them. I think the New York Times may have done one more time, but, you know, they've both grievously wounded themselves in their ability to be used for this sort of thing.
Sure.
Wow.
So there go the donations and the secret checks.
So do they just have another dork in a back room with a, you know, boop, beep, pops up, and now he's the new golden boy?
That is the standard thing for the left, yes. There is another funny thing like this, which is yet another group that was spawned out of the Arabella world, although now it is spun off as an independent nonprofit.
You know what? Let's not break your story up. Let us take a really quick break. We'll come back and let's do that one because, you know, we do love stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really, Scott, I have to say kudos to you because this one time we got this really great book. I won't name it because the book is really great, and it is on our website as one we promote. But we had the author on, and he wasn't really a storyteller. He's kind of... It's like the book was really great, but he didn't promote it. You're actually more fun than the book. But I think everybody should get the book anyway. We are speaking with Scott Walter. His book is Arabella, Exposing the Dark Money. I think you guys are going to really like it. You can find all the information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time. Don't stop me now. Yes, I'm having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
I've done the math, calibrated the imperfections. I got my slide rule from school. You add it up, and it don't add up. You shed some light on it too. And I'm just inches close to the finish. Cross it and bid you adieu. I calculated every combination, every misdirection, every subtle deception. Kickstart my thinking, I was lost in space, staring at a spot on the moon. Negotiating the anticipation of reentering the atmosphere too soon.
That's probably what it seemed like in your head when you were writing the book. Can't go wrong with the headstones.
So you had, right. you had another story
so
for
tell
us.
Tell us a story, Scott.
Oh, that's, you know, now, gosh, I apologize. I'm trying to think. We were talking about the fix the court folks.
Yeah, yeah. And you said there was another one. We can tell other stories and come back to that story. I know how that goes.
I apologize. It popped out of my head. But there are no shortage of stories. So you go ahead and whatever you... question you had in the book or
no.
other stuff. Happy to keep talking.
Let's talk about Warren Buffett.
Told you he was fixated on Warren.
Berkshire Hathaway, I think. Mm-hmm. He's another billionaire that likes to fund his pet causes, and his wife has a particular foundation. Let's talk about that and what they're all about.
Well, you're right. Buffett's first wife was Susan Thompson Buffett, and that's what his main foundation is named for. And it is obsessed with abortion, and it runs its abortion monies through Arabella's Hopewell Fund. That's yet another C3 umbrella nonprofit run by the Arabella folks. And in the book, some of the stuff that's especially creepy are these things where they were funding abortion nonprofits that did gruesome experiments in Africa. And, you know, this in a way is the creepiest thing of all the Enviro stuff, right? The population control efforts and desires. And it's painfully obvious that, you know, African folks having babies is supposedly a threat to the rest of us. And of course, that is not true. And if any conservative ever said something like that, you know exactly what he would be labeled, understandably. And yet, that is the sort of thing that Warren Buffett's money is going toward. And of course, sadly, Bill Gates, who of course is a dear friend of his, Buffett is supposedly going to give lots of money to Gates' foundation, already has given lots of money to it. So you have that. And I do have a story for you about the founder of Arabella and his connection to this kind of creepiness. So, you know, whether you're talking the guy who started Arabella or the three women who started the main BLM nonprofit, you typically find that folks either in high school or college, they get radicalized. Really, it's a religious conversion, I think, the way to understand it, right? That turns them into these zealots. Well, that's what happened to Eric Kessler, the founder of Arabella. He was an undergraduate in Colorado, and he heard this Enviro guru give a big speech, and he was so powerfully moved by it that he hitchhiked all the way from Colorado to San Francisco to work for this guru. Now, this guy was no fringe character. He had, for about two decades, he had run the Sierra Club, and he'd been so radical and political that he'd costed its nonprofit status, right, or its charity status. It had been a charity, but he did so many political misdeeds that the IRS back then, actually, this was like 50s or 60s, yanked its charity status. He also started a bunch of other nonprofits, environmentalist aimed, like Earth Island Institute and Friends of the Earth and League of Conservation Voters, which to this day remains a critical partner of the whole Arabella network. But in the 1970s, when he's at Friends of the Earth, he puts together this big fat book, Progress as If Survival Mattered. And it's a whole compendium of Enviro stuff. Now, put your thinking caps on. Now we're supposed to believe that apocalyptic climate change is going to, that's the apocalypse in the environment we're supposed to expect. But back in the 70s, when this book's being put together, what was the apocalypse then in the environment? You remember?
Global cooling, the ozone layer?
Well, there was some talk about global cooling, and I can remember that personally in my high school science class. But the big thing was the population bomb.
Oh, you're right.
We're all going to die of famine because the Earth is going to collapse under the population, right? Now, of course, we're like double the size, and there's far less starvation. So, as usual, their prophecies, like Al Gore's, don't exactly turn out. But that was the obsession then. So the very first chapter in this book that Arabella's founder's guru put together was on population. And this is what it floated as an idea. Maybe it should, the government should make it illegal to have a child unless the government gives you a license. Oh, no, wait a minute. That may not be enough. Maybe the government should force everyone of childbearing age to take contraceptives, and then if the government decides to give you a license to have a child, you'll get an antidote.
Wow.
Now, oh, my God. That so it's an opt-out, not an opt-in.
On the one hand, it's hilarious because it's so nutty. On the other hand, it is so sick, right?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, and that is the guy that had, that gave the founder of Arabella his come-to-Gaia moment. Radicalized him. Turned him into this life of activism. So,
sounds like Bill
now again,
Gates.
You know, I say in the book, hey, look, it is certainly possible that that the founder of Arabella didn't know that that guy believed that. You know, who knows? But no matter what, people who talk like that, and who knows how serious that guy was. I mean, maybe it was just, you know, sometimes you think this is just nutty rhetoric that they do to stir people up or, you know, what. Who knows? All I know is these are not people that should be trusted when they are pushing policies, every one of which is going to diminish your freedom as an ordinary American and enhance their power and money.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, is that the kind of person you want to be representing you with anything? I mean, unless you're some kind of whack job, that's just crazy.
Well, it must play. I mean, you know, they scare people with all sorts of stuff. And that's where these dark money groups come in. They start these campaigns that look really professional and well-researched. And, you know, it seems like it's got the backing. The Wizard of Oz thing is the perfect deal, Scott, because that's exactly it. It looks like they've got a whole kingdom going on. Yep. Flying monkeys, the whole, you know, they've got all of it.
Yeah.
You can keep the flying monkeys away if you stay here because the wizard's going to save us.
Well, Bill Gates has quite a population control background too, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's you can learn a lot about philanthropy by like watching Gates over the years. So when he and the missus, we should say now, I guess, ex-missus.
Oh, that's right.
When the two of them put together the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they actually did some population control stuff at the very beginning, but it got some criticism. And they pared almost all of it back. Mm. And, you know, so what does that tell you? It tells you that, on the one hand, they've always had these sicko ideas. But on the other hand, they really only created a foundation as a PR stunt, right? That was the initial purpose of having it was, you know, but the most important thing for doing it was just to get good PR. And if something we're doing, you know, gets us some not so good PR, well, then we'll just, you know, who cares? We'll get rid of it, right? I mean, who cares if the planet dies from overpopulation? If it's going to hurt our good PR job, right? But they don't even believe their own.
That's commitment
staff,
right there.
Right?
Deeply principled.
But then over time, in fact, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And the main thing that it gives money for now, the Gates Foundation, that is, to Arabella, the main thing it gives money to is for propagandizing about health policies that he cares about, which, of course, would include population control, but also other health policy stuff that he likes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they give this money to Arabella, is it earmarked for a particular cause, or does Arabella decide where it goes?
Sometimes they even earmark it publicly. So the Gates Foundation will report on its own IRS disclosure forms. We gave, you know, $20 million to the 1630 Fund for X. But other times it isn't earmarked publicly, but I can tell you that there's very good odds that both sides had a gentleman's understanding of where it was going to go.
Right. Interesting.
Well, I think that they have no really no limits. What's their just from what you've seen? What are they into? Tons of just get out the vote type of stuff or disinformation? Or are they?
Well, one of your chapters is about funding the congressional staffs. How's that work?
Yes. You have environmental groups, right, that are very keen to work both with state governments and the federal government to try to harass businesses and just otherwise, you know, push for radical enviro policies. So one of the things that Arabella got mixed up with was funneling money to members of Congress and committees to do investigations of their enemies and, you know, harass them in public. So the only problem is that that may or may not have been legal, because it seems to be pretty clear in the congressional rules that, you know, a congressman or a committee can't take money from outsiders to do investigations, or can't have, you know, staff members added who get paid by outside places. Because, you know, there's all kinds of rules about how much money members of Congress can spend on their offices, their staff, and the rest. So that was one of the, that's one chapter in the book. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then talk about Brian Zinke a little
Ryan.
Bit. Or Ryan Zinke and his career, let's say.
Sure. His mistake was going to work in the Trump administration, because, of course, the multiple different groups have gotten created by Arabella that have very serious names and the rest, that really just exist to harass, were created just to harass the Trump administration in a variety of ways. Sometimes it was through, you know, PR campaigns attacking people like then Secretary of the Interior Zinke. Other times it was to flood the agencies of the government with a FOIA request that, you know, just overwhelm them and the rest. So both of those things went on with Ryan Zinke when he was Secretary of the Interior, and they were successful. They harassed him so much that eventually he resigned. And then the fellow Bernhardt, who took his place, he also got attacked and attacked and attacked, so much so that he was, I don't think Bernhardt was ever even put up for a Senate confirmation vote because so much mud had been slung at him, and he simply stayed as the acting Secretary of the Interior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was helpful too, like with our district out here in Northern California with our dams and all our water problems and stuff. Zinke, not so much. He sent us a pretty bad guy to work on the problems here, but Bernhardt actually came out. He was very helpful. He actually brought out somebody from the solicitor's office who wasn't an evildoer. That was new. So folks out here were pretty happy with him.
No, that's great. The and now, of course, what do you have? The Secretary of the Interior is Haaland.
Yeah,
and surprise, she had a 98% lifetime voting score from the League of Conservation Voters.
Hmm.
So, it's impressive how this stuff works, and you can be sure all of those oversight groups that Arabella created were not doing any oversight on her and her ties.
Yeah, no, that looked like a pretty bad, that looked like a pretty bad deal for all those of us out here with, you know, so many issues with natural resources. And you put somebody like that in charge and you go, oh,
yeah,
the steamroller has just fired up and we're about to get crushed. Let's take a really quick break and come back so we don't get jammed up at the top of the hour. Let's not forget, Scott. So think about any of the stuff that, because you're the expert, we're not. We're just following along. But we also want to tell people kind of what they can do if you guys have discovered some things that if only the general public would know. Let's give them that info. You are
sure.
Listening to We the People. We are talking with Scott Walter. His book is Arabella, and we definitely recommend you should get it. I think you'll learn a lot. You'll learn a lot more than you actually heard today. We've only scratched the surface. You can find the information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Good.
There you go. There's the theme song for Arabella the musical.
Yeah. We've done quite a few shows on marijuana. Can you talk to us?
All the illegal cartels and all that stuff.
Yeah, everywhere that's led us. Talk to us about the North Fund, its origins and what's going on with that.
Well, the North Fund is, again, one of those middle-of-the-pyramid nonprofits that Arabella has cooked up. And one of the most interesting things about it is that it only got started a few years ago. And I think, again, the fact that they bothered to start it up suggests that our exposure of Arabella is really having an effect. You know, it's another C4, but they already had the 1630 fund, and, you know, why do they need more C4s? Unless, of course, we're making it too radioactive to give money to or get money from the 1630 fund. So the North Fund set up to be yet another one, and its does a lot of different things, but one of the biggest things it does is put tons of money into state ballot initiatives. And, of course, in California, you know, your ballot initiatives make a huge difference in your state's politics, right? And one thing for ballot initiatives is you can often get things through accomplished through a ballot initiative that you can't get done in the legislature. And also you can use ballot initiatives to drive certain constituencies to the polls, right? So in the case of a ballot initiative, for instance, about marijuana, you may be able to jack up the turnout of young people who overwhelmingly vote for one political party because they care about that. Or we saw in the last year or so in Ohio, big abortion initiative to try to drive women to the polls. So that's the kind of thing that the North Fund and other Arabella nonprofits specialize in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just a million tentacles to this Arabella that are kind of surprising. Funds you've never heard of.
How do you see this playing in with the election at the end of the year?
Well, there's another chapter, as you know, in there about talking about some of the groups that they pop into existence just for affecting the actual administration of elections, which is one of the scariest things out there. So if we back up a little bit, folks will remember from the 2020 elections that Zuckerberg gave hundreds of millions, over $400 million, to two C3 charities that in turn gave that money out to government election offices at the state and local level. And on our website, capitalresearch.org, we put, you know, we don't hide anything. We document everything. You can go there and you can see all the data. In Excel spreadsheets, you can download it and crunch the numbers for yourselves. What we were able to show with the Zuckbuck donations is they overwhelmingly went in the battleground states. The money overwhelmingly goes to Democrat vote-rich jurisdictions to jack up the turnout. Well, obviously, if you jack up the turnout in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and whatnot in Pennsylvania, well, you can win Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. You jack it up in Racine and Milwaukee and whatnot, same thing. So that's what was going on with those Zuck bucks. Now, the group that got most of Zuck's bucks, about almost $350 million of them, something called the Center for Tech and Civic Life, well, guess what we discovered a year after the election? We discovered that Arabella's new venture fund had put $25 million into that nonprofit in the election year of 2020. Now, there were all kinds of fights and arguments. You still sometimes hear it like, oh, none of that Zuckerberg money had anything partisan about it. That's crazy talk.
Well, if zero people believe that.
The thing is, if Arabella gave $25 million the same year to the main place getting the Zuck bucks, nobody, as you just, as we said before, the New York Times, the Atlantic, you know, nobody pretends anymore that Arabella is not a, you know, a huge Democratic powerhouse. So if they were giving $25 million to the same place, that should totally end the question, was this a partisan operation? But, of course, we didn't know that because they didn't have to disclose it until a year later. Now, there's a chapter in the book that talks about, okay, so that's 2020, but we're 4 years away from 2020 now. Well, guess what? The same group, Center for Tech and Civic Life, that got the $350 million Zuckbucks is still around and is trying to get around bans on Zuckbucks because, gosh, it's funny, 28 states now have passed laws to restrict that kind of private money going into government election offices. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Shocking. But but anyway,
they're just trying to
so
know.
They have. So what does the group that put $350 million of that out there, what is it doing? Well, the answer is it's concocting new ways to accomplish the same thing, but without just writing checks to your local election registrar. So guess what? It has 8 partners to work with it in this scheme, and not one, but 2 of the partners are just fake groups popped up by the Arabella Network. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Institute for Responsive Government and Center for Secure and Modern Elections. Now, you're not against secure and modern elections,
That's
are you?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You heretic.
That's what cracks me up about these groups is that when you look at the name, it's like, oh, well, that's me. I'll vote for that. Yeah, you got to do your homework.
Exactly.
But it actually works. I mean, they keep doing it because it works. People do vote
well,
for it.
Well, not always. I'll tell you, just this last week or so, somebody pulled out. The way they do it is they go to your local election office, the Zuckbuck entity, the Center for Tech and Civic Life. They have created something called the Alliance for Election Excellence. Again, you're not opposed to that, right?
No.
But so the way that works is the Alliance calls you up and says, hey, Aaron, you're a registrar of this county here. We're going to name your county a Center of Election Excellence. And you go, oh, that's so great. I've never gotten such – I deserve recognition like that. That's wonderful. And then they're going to say, okay, now you owe us dues. And you say, whoa, I don't have that in my budget. What are you talking about? Oh, don't worry. You don't have to give us any money. We'll give you a scholarship to cover your dues. And the scholarship will be in credits that you can spend at our wonderful partners in election excellence, like those two Arabella groups. So they'll help you and by the way, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come up with an improvement plan for your office so you can be even excellenter.
Your excellence will be oozing out of your pores by the time we're done with you.
Yeah, and you're going to have all this money to distribute.
Do they offer to do like is any of this hardware involved? Like, you know, we'll help you with your machines. We'll train
your
people.
We'll buy you. Well, keep in mind, vote by mail, which, vote by mail was always understood to be something that seriously degrades election integrity, right?
Yes.
After the 2000 election, which had all the disputes with Bush and Gore, you had James Baker, a famous Republican, poobah, and Jimmy Carter himself. They did a bipartisan thing on how elections could be better run. And it was crystal clear. They were emphatic that vote by mail, absentee voting, is one of the biggest detriments to election integrity that you could have. Everybody knew that. Nobody pretended that wasn't the case. Now, of course, for some odd reason, all these lefty groups are obsessed with vote by mail and expanding it ever more. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they figured out how to make it work. Amazing.
Exactly.
So
my research director got ballots he lives in Maryland. He got ballots for, I think it was, five persons who no longer live at his address, but he got ballots in the mail for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's election integrity at its finest.
Yeah, because if it happened to him, how many times did it happen to other people, and how many times did those ballots got filled out and sent in?
Of course. Well, so for people out there listening, I mean, there's always I'm always opposed to, the show about life sucks and then you die. I mean, I never want that to be the takeaway. So on a deal like this, besides knowledge is power, right? I mean, if we're going to go cliche, this book really lines out and really helps you see around the corner of how all this network is there. Of course, the names will change over time, but the pattern is still good.
Right.
What can regular people who, you know, maybe they're not massive donors, they're just regular folks living in town, you know, just want to kind of be smart about stuff.
Yeah, what can we do to slow this down or stop it? Is there anything?
Well, I have several ideas. The first one, again, is to go back to that influencewatch.org website we run.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you find a group that's not on there, because, of course, they're always metastasizing, you know, just send us an email and let us know. We love putting, you know, it's invaluable to get that kind of intel, and then we'll dig into them and write them up. But I love it. I see people writing letters to the editor of their local newspaper regularly all over the country, and they expose stuff that's going on right then and there in their community using knowledge they got from Influence Watch. So that's really valuable right there. The Wizard of Oz only works as long as the curtain hides the guy behind it. So that's one thing. Another thing is you can ask, if you're in most states or some states, you can ask your state attorney general to look into the shenanigans that are going on. You can talk to folks in Washington. You know, there are bills that would deal with some of these problems. For instance, there's a bill in Congress right now that says if you are a C4 political nonprofit and you get money from foreign nationals, then you're not going to be allowed to give money to super PACs because the foreign nationals aren't allowed to give money to super PACs. Mm. That's one bill. Another bill is that C3 charities aren't going to be able to donate to local election offices, right? That will not be recognized as acceptable for a C3 charity because they already can't do things like they can't donate to a political campaign.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then you have another bill that's there saying that they can't use C3 groups and monies to register voters. So that would also be a useful thing. So there's definitely some hope. Please don't let anybody despair just because you don't have billions of dollars, right? The number one agenda item for the left is to shut you up if you're not a lefty.
Yep.
So you may feel powerless, but they would not need to shut you up if you really were powerless. The truth
right.
is very powerful.
Well, the other thing, too, is the danger with all of this, and I know that that's all part of the program, is to make people feel like it doesn't matter if they vote. And like in our last election here, I know a lady who was running for a local political party committee. She won by 3 votes. So 3 people made the difference on that. Everybody counts. It may not, you know, you get kind of lost in the shuffle, especially in California on a Republican presidential ticket, but the rest of it's all super, super important.
Yeah.
And if they can get you to not vote, well, hey, they don't have to cheat.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Voting is, you have to vote. Whether you agree with the process or not, you have to vote. Make it, otherwise you're just handing it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Make them have to work to cheat. And I have to point out, too, I was messing around on the Influence Watch website, and I clicked on your link to Twitter that now we have to call X, which we still call Twitter, so go figure that out. But all of your posts are all the different, you know, this foundation, Ponder, what is it, Latin X, Latinx? I don't know what it is. What is that? It's a voter advocacy group that focuses on increasing Latino voter registration. You guys have great information, just these little posts, Pipeline Fund. So even if all you did was just check your feed on a weekly basis, even if you don't want to do it every day, you could stay abreast of, you know, who's doing what with whom.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know anything we missed. We have like another minute or something. We don't want to just waste it. Scott,
well,
back to you.
Again, I'll give you another example of why people shouldn't despair, even in California. because, you know, if you think about it, people who believe in America's founding principles have been defeating richer, bigger empires ever since some backwood colonials knocked down the greatest empire the world had ever seen. So, again, never forget, they're terrified of you telling some other American the truth. It takes all these billions and all these hundreds of groups and all the rest for them to basically hold even, right?
Yeah.
So they are not invulnerable. They are not Superman.
No, and the more you tell, the more she's knocking on the window. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know.
Are we out of time? No, we are out of time. Okay, I don't know. Our clock must be wrong. Scott? Thank you so much for being on with us, and we definitely want to hear more stories at some point in the future.
Well, thanks so much.
If that works for you.
And the book is Arabella, and go get it.
Run out and get Arabella, and
it's a great read.
Send the show out. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, I just try to make